back to Tango TV. You know, it was back in September when Tango himself, the Eminence, his Eminence, first envisioned Tango TV as a premier interviewing platform. And since then, we've taken it mostly in the direction of talkback podcasts and the like. But it's a return to roots today. Go back to the interviewing front with the enigmatic Grot King.
Yeah.
And apparently quite feline. Also joined by co-host Tonsman. Typically, M-Trop is for the role, but he was so eager to get in on the action that we had to have him on. So, hello, you. Yes, typically we start, of course, with mapping origins, or rather just introduction to Doom. But I'm guessing from your name, Rot King, that Rise of the Triad was also pretty big. Was it either one or the other before the other came along, or how does that work? Tell us, take us back in time.
Well, I believe, yeah, Rise of the Triad was probably like one of the very first FPS games I played. And coincidentally, it was also like the very first game we ever pirated. And it was really funny because like our uncle, he says like, oh yeah, you like this game, huh? Well, I'll copy it for you. And so he copies it onto 9 floppy disks for us to install. So that was like the first game that we stole.
Oh.
And, yeah, so, like, I really like that game. There's not a lot of nostalgia with it. And it kind of led me to the 3D Realms forums, where I got interested in, like, you know, mapping for Duke 3D and Blood and all those games and stuff like that. And also, I think I played Doom 2 before I played Doom 1.
Uh-huh.
And there was, like, some kind of, like, I think there was, like, a discount if you bought Doom 2, you could get Doom 1. For like $10 off or $15 off or something. So it's like, even though I played Doom 2 first, I think I kind of have like more memories of Doom 1 for some reason. I think I almost liked Doom 1 better as a kid. I'm not really sure why.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so where should I keep going with this history and timeline?
Well, actually, I kind of like you to try and convince Townsman what the hell to like about Rise of the Triad, because you say you're like, you like it for the nostalgia and everything. And Tom's been trying to play it recently, and he wasn't too chuffed. But I imagine if he played it when he was growing up, it was one of the first FPSs he played, he would have thought of it differently. Like, is there anything about the game in particular that you like, or is it really just the nostalgia factor now that you kind of hold it in high regard?
Well, I guess it's a little bit nostalgia, but I don't know. I kind of take the game for what it is. It's not really supposed to be like a game with like really good weapon balance. So I kind of just accept the fact that you're gonna be like machine gunning, like using MP40 on like really high health enemies, and like it gets kind of tedious and constantly looking for like missile weapons, because that's pretty much all the game is about. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just like the levels have like a kind of mix between FPS and arcade, which I think is like really interesting. It hasn't really like been done like since then. Tell it has like kind of like a puzzly element to it.
You convinced, man?
I can see that. I still my main thing with Rise of the Triad is I have Doom. It feels totally unnecessary to me. Like, it's just one of those things where I think it's a good game. I just think Doom's a better game.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, like you said, I mean, Doom is a much better balanced game. Like, weapons are more balanced. There's more enemy variety and stuff like that. But it's just like Rise of the Triad. I don't know. I guess I just like roaming through the levels and hitting push walls and shit like that. I don't know.
No. It definitely does have that fun arcade-y feel style going.
Yeah.
And I would not detract from that. When you first got into, like, editing for Duke Nukem 3D, what really made you make the change over to Doom mapping, and when was that?
Yeah, because I'm kind of looking at the your first id games releases, and like, and half of them, like, skins or important characters over from Rot, or whatever, or
yeah,
stuff like that, and that goes on for, like, 2 years. So there's clearly a lot of merging interests there. Like, where was the transition?
Yeah, for a really long time, I was just involved with Duke Nukem 3D mapping. Most of the motivation for my mapping came from playing modem to modem with my friends, like playing deathmatch and stuff like that. So we would always like make like really bad, dumb deathmatch maps and like pass them back and forth to play online and stuff. So after a while of that, I started to get like a little bit more serious with it. Like I actually started to like care about like the quality of my maps. And so I started uploading them to like various Duke Nukem 3D and websites like MSDN and stuff like that. And it was, I guess it was like once I stopped playing Deathmatch with my friends is when I kind of like dropped off of playing, of making Duke Nukem 3D maps, because I kind of felt like, well, if I have nobody to play with, there's no reason to map anymore. So there was kind of like a period where I wasn't really mapping at all for like any game. Until I got, I think it was like around 2001 where I first downloaded like Z-Doom and then subsequently Z-Daemon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was getting really addicted to that. And it wasn't long before I found Skull Tag. And then that's when I started to get, like, a little bit into making levels for that game.
Oh, wow.
And so
we found quite a few people who actually had discovered sort of mapping for Doom via source ports like that, via Skull Tag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my first, like, Skull Tag levels were really bad. It was kind of weird because they're on my hard drive somewhere. I could show you them, but
do it.
It was funny because like some my very last Duke Nukem 3D levels were actually like fairly decent as far as like how they looked and played, but the transition to Skull Tag to Doom was like, I made like really shitty levels, like they looked terrible. Like I just didn't know like what to really do with, like, the Doom engine, because I was used to build where there wasn't really, like, set heights for, like, a lot of doors and stuff like that. You kind of just had to, like, wing it and kind of, like, model things around, like, how tall Duke Nukem, like, the sprite was.
I really like, want to see them, because this is all Tarnsman's fault. He's, like, nurtured within me an appreciation of shit. And I just really want to see this. It's true. I just really want to see these early efforts by yours. Yeah.
Yeah. There's all the like the really beginner mapper mistakes. Like, since like the first couple of maps I made were deathmatch maps, they were like just god awful and texture alignment, like really sharp angled walls that like poke your eye out. You can get like impaled on them.
Brilliant.
Just like really bad texture choices overall. Bad layouts. It was just like the list goes on and on.
All for deathmatch as well, was it?
Yeah, just all deathmatch.
Oh, when you said skull tag maps, I thought you meant for the actual game mode skull tag.
Oh no, I just meant like game engines for skull tag.
Okay.
So it sounds like you were pretty much surrounded by folks to play with from the get go, which is why.
Yeah.
So you didn't really necessarily develop an interest for mapping for deathmatch specifically so much as it was there just from the start, sort of thing.
Yeah, I kind of just like I just enjoyed making levels in general for games. Like I also like making levels for like Worms Armageddon, Warcraft 2, stuff like that. Like basically anything with an editor, I wanted to like mess with it.
You could have had some fun times, man.
Oh yeah. I got all my my like editing start in use map settings for StarCraft 1.
Yeah. Yeah,
Sorry, Tom, can you take the helm for a bit? Because I got to get some sugar for my strawberries. I'll just be back in a second. This is vital.
Yeah,
I mean, the cream is just
sugar.
So I'll be back in 2 seconds.
So, your first single player map, once you finally, like, you just continued making deathmatch maps exclusively for Skull Tag until you transitioned to single player? Or when did you move from Skull Tag to another port to,
I guess my very first single-player map for Doom was, like, some Unidoom, like, speed mapping competition thing. It's just, like, a really, like, dumb throwaway kind of thing we just, like, thought of doing at the last minute. And, like, it was, like, me, Deathzor, maybe Ralph, and a few other UD members just, like, made just, like, really quick, dumb speed maps. And so from there, my very first like non speed map single player map was Community Chest 3, map 12.
Yeah, Black Brain.
Yeah.
And actually, sorry to interrupt. I have no idea what the context is, but we did actually get a question from Duke pertaining to Black Brain, so it's a good time for me to return with my casting sugar. That's all I could get. He asks, Rock King, there are Nazis in Black Brain, comma what the fuck?
I basically just put them there as Easter eggs. So, like that's pretty much just it. I know there's like, I think there's like two instances of them. There's like, once you call the elevator to get to like the upper part of the base, there's like just randomly a Nazi that spawns in with the other demons. No. He's like there. He just spawns in with them.
I think I missed it.
Like, yeah.
I approve of this Nazi. Mm.
And then I think there's one in like a real super secret area, where it's like you kind of have to like SR-40ing, like jump off the cliff edge, and then you kind of have to walk along and get the megasphere, and there's like a Nazi waiting for you.
So there's no like fascination with Nazis. You're just including it as an Easter egg. That's what we're saying
here. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's also Commander Keen that I tucked away somewhere in that map, too.
Black Rain, man. Awesome map. I think that took me, like, I can't remember how long to finish. It's definitely one of the larger ones.
By larger, I mean massive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell I was on when I made that map. I basically just, had all these ideas in my head for the progression, and I just, like, I kept adding on to it and not really knowing, like, not trying to, like, contain it or anything, because I had, like, CC3 was in development for, like, over a year or something, so I had, like, a whole year to just, like, work on the thing on and off, and I just kept slowly adding on more and more to it.
And, sorry, who was that in collaboration with, and what was the collaboration method there? Because I swear
collaboration method?
Yeah, wasn't Black Rain with two folks? Was it just
me? No, it was just me.
It was a solo effort. What the hell did I get that idea?
Oh, no, it was, what it was Esselfordium. He helped out with making the final arena look better. But then it ended up getting cut anyway because it went over the seg limit, so...
Oh, the boom seg limit!
Yeah.
Wow.
yeah, like I said, large map.
So, after Community Chest 3, you went back to making a lot of deathmatch maps. Of course, there's UDMX, which is awesome and great, and I love it. And what made you get really evolved to decide to want to make an entire single-player episode for when Double Impact came around? Was that Ralphus's idea, or was that your idea?
Oh, yeah, Double Impact was pretty much entirely Ralphus's idea. He just, like, he came to me on IRC one time, and it was just like, hey, you want to make a single-player map? And it was like, okay. So he made a little bit of the map, and then he passed it back to me. And then I made a little bit, and then passed it back to him, and they like from right from the start we'd like established what we were going to do with it while just like passing it back and forth and just trying to make it like as quick as possible, and whenever we would get like stuck with an area we would just pass it to the other guy and have them work on it.
Mm-hmm. So it actually originally started out as just a single map effort.
Yeah, we really didn't think it was going to turn out to be like a full episode replacement. Like I think at most we thought we were going to be able to make only, like, two or three maps or something. Like, we definitely did not think it was going to be, like, a full-blown, full-episode replacement.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I know we're talking about single-player maps at the moment, but I feel like we've jumped the gun just a little bit. And there are a few questions here, again from Do. He seems to be the only one who sent in these, pertaining to your evolution as a mapper when it comes to DM and Capture the Flag specifically. And he mentions Dynamite DM, which I checked out very briefly before this interview from Mid Games. Go check it out, folks. Rockin wants you to play it. Cakewalk for Dynamite DM says, "Do, what do you think about it in retrospect? Do you think your later DM and Capture the Flag maps are better and more deserving?"
Well, I think some of the maps in Dynamite DM were pretty good, but I think it's kind of like half are crap and then half are maps that I find like acceptable to this day.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of the maps in Dynamite DM were just maps that I made either like just for the hell of it, or they were maps that were actually, now that I think about it, I remember a lot of the maps came from what was going to be UDMX, but it was like it wasn't even called UDMX then. It was called just like UDM4 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And so like a couple of those maps were just, you know, came from UDM4 being scrapped. So I just put them in my own project, and it kind of just, like, grew from there.
So Dynamite DM is sort of a compilation piece? I mean, were any of the maps specifically made to round out a set?
Oh, yeah, there were a couple of maps that made to just fill the project.
All right.
But a lot of them just were, like, just scrapped maps, and that's kind of why the quality varies between the maps. Because some were just meant to be like Doom 2 vanilla compatible. Others had actually had like Skulltag in mind when they were made, And some of those maps I really don't like them. Like, some of them are just like really small and cramped, or really flat and boring.
Are you like perplexed as to why I got a cankerwood? Or maybe I'm not really understanding the sort of deathmatch scene at the time. Maybe then it was sort of a...
I think during the time there wasn't a whole lot of like good deathmatch sets out, so I guess maybe I got a little bit lucky in that regard.
Right.
But I think overall the pack is like, it's still pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
I was considering like replacing some of the crappier maps, but considering that like deathmatch is, it hasn't been played for like quite some time now. Mm-hmm. Like it's especially on Skull Tag, it's really not played that often, so I didn't really find any motivation to replace those maps.
Mm-hmm. You don't think that there are any like efforts that you did later on, any map sets that I'm not thinking of perhaps that would have been more deserving? I guess that's the second half of G's question as well.
Yeah, there hasn't really been like many projects that I made by myself, so I guess I can't really say that there is any that I thought was like more deserving.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dew also sneaks in. I since we're on the Dew train here with this question, why not? He has a third one here. I guess he expects something out of you, or maybe it's an injury.
He was crazy.
He is. He is quite insane.
He is.
Marbles. He asks, Rockin, can you please, can you tell us a funny zero tag lift story? Is he referring to something that I'm not aware of?
I don't know how funny it is, but I mean, basically,
don't disappoint me.
During the beginning of, like, maybe like the first half, or maybe even later during Double Impact's like development, since that was like my first time working with like Vanilla Doom restrictions and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really like well versed in like what not to do with as far as like tags go and textures and all that kind of stuff. So there was like a lot of zero tag lifts, since you know that kind of thing is actually it's not a big deal in Z Doom, since it just takes care of that for you.
Uh-huh.
So there was like a couple of instances where like there was like large sections of floor that would just get lowered because of like one lift. So like maybe like an entire like level would get lowered and just like glitch out. Yeah.
Huh.
This pleases me greatly, Rockin.
Yep.
It's not really a campfire story. I mean,
it's not.
After, I mean, Dude was working it up, man, in the PM that he sent me, and I'm frankly disappointed. Tonsman has something equally as good as that in his map 22 of Doom 2 the way Ed did.
Oh, I would argue that is the be all end all and far superior.
Could you please remind us as to what happened there, Tonsman?
Considering
the context.
So I made the lava. I forgot to make the lava damaging in the map Borderlands, and I was like, "Oh wait, I better go in and fix that." And so I opened it up and I selected all the lava sectors, and I'm like, "I'm gonna make it damaging. I'm gonna make it 10% damaging." So I typed in 10 mm-hmm. into the sector effect, and just was like, "That's 10%," and mm-hmm. closed it, and didn't realize that it was door wait 30 seconds and then close. And the results were spectacular, to say the least.
See, that's a campfire story. I don't know. I think it's equally as spooky as it is magnificent and hilarious to watch. But this isn't about Tonsman's Borderlands. I just felt the opportunity. Let's go and move on to mapping techniques. I mean, since we're sort of moving in that direction, talking about your the evolution of your map sets, is, I guess, for deathmatch and the like. How would you distinguish your style from others? Because I'm aware of how your style distinguishes in single player, because I've played a few of your single player maps, like Blight from Baxter NX or Mustard Company and the like. But do others distinguish a Rock King deathmatch or Capture the Flag map differently from others? And what are those sort of traits? And what do you like in a style? What do you go for in a map?
Well, I guess as far as deathmatch goes, a lot of my inspiration and like my like the way I make maps is, it kind of comes from a lot of like the Unidoom deathmatch maps.
Uh-huh.
I took a lot of inspiration from those, and I think especially like Toke's layouts. The way he made his maps, where they were just like just very like simple layouts. And using always like a, I don't know how to really describe it. He just like had a really like no nonsense, simple kind of mapping style, and it kind of like rubbed off on me. And that's kind of like how my maps. That's usually how they kind of like turn out, I guess. It's hard for me to make a map that's like complex layout wise, as far as like frivolous like little areas go and stuff like that. Because
did you find that sort of approach had negative effects, and you were mapping for something like Double Impact, just coming quickly back to single player?
I think a little bit, because like whenever I make single player maps, like you can, I think there's like a definite like deathmatch influence to my maps. Like it's all very streamlined. There's like no real like kind of like exploratory areas. It's all just like very straightforward kind of stuff. And
the scale does kind of stay the same. Like you don't really merge into any large distinct areas.
I try to make areas that aren't like very cramped. I always try to make like 128 wide like hallways or like doorways and stuff like that. Just like trying to make it like as very like efficient and like easy to move around as possible. Like it's a deathmatch map or something.
I would disagree with the assertion that it doesn't open up into very large areas. Almost every Rock King map that I looked at briefly, mind you, last night. Was a series of, like, you'd have, like, corridors and stuff that all were very interconnected deathmatch styles, but then those corridors would, like, surround and enclose large, like, one-concept rooms. Like, you'd open up into a larger room that would have, like, a piece of machinery or, like, floor rays or something. Like, there was, like, a bridge or another object that was, like, the defining set piece of that room, and then it would go back to hallways, and you'd have, like, 5 to 10 of those, like, set PC rooms in each map. Almost like Doom 1, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of true.
Who was, like, your... Have you taken different inspiration for your single-player maps? Like, do you have somebody
right.
who's your key single-player inspiration?
As far as, like, Doom authors go, I don't think there's really... I can't really, like, think of anybody on hand that I take, like, direct inspiration from. It's probably just, like... all like a jumble of all the different kind of like maps I've played, and I probably take stuff from authors, and I don't even really know that I'm doing it. It's kind of just like subconsciously there.
That's
but
fine.
As far as like taking inspiration from other games, going back to like my Duke Nukem roots, a lot of my I think a lot of my mapping style does come from like Duke Nukem 3D, Blood and Shadow Warrior, and Quake 2, and even like a little bit of Counter Strike.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's kind of like, oh yeah, Unreal Tournament, it's kind of just like a jumble of like all these different kind of games, depending on like the style of map that I'm like working with.
I can definitely see that, actually. And I actually recall a few times when Tarnsman pointed out, that feels very Duke 3D to me. There might have been a Rocking map that we were playing recently, I can't remember which one it was, in which you said that precise thing about the entire map, just the whole thing. It might have even just been Mustard Company, where we were doing the Wes of the Zeta stream through of that.
I'm pretty sure it was.
But you've said that plenty of times, yeah. That's a pretty accurate assertion. I'm thinking of certain... Are there things that you hate to see in like, if you load up a modern map set or something, if you're just testing something out, are there any specific choices in design that just rub you the wrong way or make you throw the computer at the wall? Or some sort of thing?
I would say probably one of the most annoying things is, like, having, like, just... a shitload of monsters just like all lined up in a room or something, and you know it's like, you know before you can't just like barge into the room and just start like popping monsters, like you can't do that. You know if you want to like not take damage and do it as efficiently as possible, you're going to have to stand in the doorway and like blast all the monsters that are like all like sniping you, you know. It's that kind of thing like irritates me, having to like clear out a room that takes like 3 minutes or something because there's just so many monsters piled up on pedestals or walls or whatever.
Are there any elements of design like visually that you sort of admire, or perhaps a sort of style of map making that I guess because of the way in which you map, since you have such a sort of specific style, are there any other sort of styles that you like to observe?
Almost anybody, whenever I look at almost anybody's maps, like, I get instantly jealous, pretty much. Like, there's a lot of stuff that Favera does, a lot of stuff that Tarnsman does, and a lot of stuff that Essel does, Mechadon does, Skillsaw, like, all these people, they all do, like, things that I wish I could do with my maps. Like, they always make these, like, really chunky-looking architecture and these, like, really interconnected layouts with, like, there's, like, a clear concept in their head, you know? Uh-huh. Like, I feel like whenever I make a map, it's always just, like, a room-to-room sort of deal, just not really, like, thinking of the big picture. And so, like, whenever I see maps by Tarnsman or Essler or Mechadon or whatever, like, I can tell, like, just by playing their maps, they have, like, a clear vision of what they want to make, and I kind of wish I could do that, you know?
Maybe you could. I mean, you've been mapping for quite a while, but perhaps, you know, perhaps you could take it in a new direction if you wanted to. Are you quite comfortable where you are as a mapper? Do you feel like you've reached a certain point, or you've achieved your style, and although you might be jealous of certain other people's maps, is like you're quite comfortable with where you are. There's no really need to. Or would you always be seeking to improve as a mapper?
Well, I think as far as like deathmatch and CTF goes, like as far as like the competitive game modes go, I think I'm pretty happy with how my style is.
Mm-hmm.
Like my maps in UDMX, I like them a lot. Chill 3.
Oh yeah, both of them. Pretty good.
Skulltag LMS, I like those maps. They're pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
One map that I think I really like that not that many people know about is Ghouls vs. Humans map 20. It's like this. It was influenced from like Stalker and Silent Hill, and it's just like this big sprawling kind of like abandoned warehouse factory kind of deal. And
sure.
I'm actually, like, really pleased with how that map came out, and, but as far as, like, single-player maps go, I actually kind of had, like, an epiphany working on Doom 2 the way it did. Like, the very first map I made, I kind of, like, looked at the way Sandy, and, like, the way he placed monsters and how some rooms were just, like, intentionally left empty. Like, he didn't feel, like, a need to fill every room to the brim with monsters. He kind of just, like, let some rooms be, and like it kind of like resonated with me. Like I kind of thought to myself, like, wait, why the hell am I filling every room to the brim with monsters and making shit kind of tedious, you know?
Uh-huh.
And also the way he makes his maps kind of sandboxing and exploratory, I kind of like that.
I wouldn't say your sort of monster placement's very tedious though. One thing that really stands out to me about the way you sort of place monsters, it's very 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 scattershot. And I was trying to do a pyron of Mustard Company a short while ago, and I realized that if I'm just playing at speed, like not doing a pyron, just trying to get through the map normally, but you know, at a relatively fast pace, and then I compare that to when I'm actually trying to do a pyron or a speed run, the speed run I'm only cutting off like a minute on a 5 or 6 minute map. It's because the monsters are placed in such a way that I'm always sort of stop starting, but it feels very distinct, and the gameplay isn't boring to me. So I guess I'm complimenting you. Yes.
Absolutely. Like, I find it hilarious that Rocking was talking about not having, like, an overall concept when one of his maps in Episode 2 of Back to Saturn X Bite is probably, like, in my opinion, one of the most atmospheric and overall, like, complete place-feeling maps in the set.
Mm.
So
it's okay to say thank you, Rocking.
Thank you.
Thank you
for helping me.
And it does have some of my favorite dick move rooms in Back to Saturn X.
I do enjoy creating like sort of Viet Cong style monster placements.
Viet Cong.
Just like attacking the player from, you know, every possible angle.
Oh, absolutely.
Did I read it incorrectly, or did you actually go back and make the map harder recently?
Yeah, I did.
Why would you do something like that?
because Bite can only get better by being harder.
Well, that was because, like, I know Tarnsman said, like, I shouldn't gauge, like, playtesting, like, based on, how, like, how he plays, but...
No, you should.
I just felt like there was just a little too much health in a few key areas that was just, like, unnecessary, since there's, like, already, like, a... Like in that demon room, for example, where there's just, like, demons surrounding you.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just thought there was, like, a little bit of excessive health there, so I just... remove some stim packs, since there's already like a Zerk pack and a Soul Sweeper anyway, so it's
if
like...
If I recall correctly, when me and Tarnsman co-op through that map set, Bite killed us. We couldn't beat it.
That's because Bite on co-op is ridiculous.
This is true.
There's like twice as many Archviles. It's awesome. I love Bite.
I actually added one more Archvile to that, the Archvile arena, like where you fight two of them, so now there's four on co-op.
That's excellent. This pleases me. Rock King, this pleases me greatly.
Wait, sorry. I just want to finish up the thing about the single player maps real quick. After working on Doom 2 the way it did, you know, I already said before about looking at Sandy's maps and stuff like that, but it kind of made me feel like the way I want to make single player maps now is I kind of want to make them in the style of like Doom 2 and then kind of like pretty it up and then include like more modern architecture and design choices and stuff like that, but have like more arcadey kind of like Doom 2 style gameplay, because I think I kind of like that better than my maps in Saturn X that are kind of like more linear and stuff like that, you know.
And I find that funny because a lot of people who worked on Doom 2 the way it did say the same thing.
Yes, they do. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of an eye opener working with somebody else's style.
Definitely, and that's actually one of the things. Like, Doom 2 has a lot of things, and I'm sure a lot of people would agree with this, that I really enjoy, and I think, like, man, that's a really good idea, and then I just end up not implementing it into my map when I end up making a map. Like, I really
want
to do that,
true.
And then I just don't.
Yeah, that happens to me sometimes. I just, like, I forget about something really cool that I saw in some other one, and I'm like, ah, shit, I missed my chance here.
Just gonna revert to default rocking.
Yeah, and I think that Doom 2 style has a lot of that, especially, like, the sequence breaks and the mass optional areas and all that.
Yeah.
I guess this is kind of following up from my previous question when I was asking sort of whether you're comfortable with your style and sort of what elements you're looking to improve. When you signed up to do a map or just made a map for Doom 2 the way it did, which is map 18, the Sanctum.
You also made map 1.
And map 1, of course, yeah. I guess I'm thinking more of the first because it's when that was the first map you made for it. Were you deliberately looking to change your style then, or were you just joining the project on a whim and not really expecting to get much out of it? Or were you actually looking to make changes?
Yeah, that was definitely just on a whim. I didn't think I was going to be able to like pull it off at all. I kind of just saw everybody else working on it, and I saw there was like a few slots to fill, so I thought, like, why not? It sounds kind of fun to, like, you know, try to map in like Doom 2 retail style. So, there definitely wasn't any, like, I didn't think it was going to actually, like, change the way I make maps or anything.
Yeah. Well, I think you're a good example.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Promote that sort of, yeah. Also, I guess, also along the same lines, would I be right in saying that you're more comfortable mapping for DM? Because there's sort of soft goals or hard goals that you need to adhere to. And so in conjunction with your style, do you find that you're able to, are you a little more comfortable with your style when you're mapping those sort of game modes as opposed to single player, because you have something you have to really work towards, or you're aware of how the sort of multiplayer scene plays out and what they would sort of like to look for in a map?
I don't know. There's like, over the past couple of years, it kind of changed how I felt about that, actually. Like, at some parts, a couple of years ago, maybe I thought single player was easier. Then a few years later, I thought deathmatch was easier. But now, it's really hard, because after, like, mapping a lot more for single player, I kind of gained, like, an appreciation of just how, like, it's harder in some ways and easier in others. Because I used to feel like deathmatch, you could kind of just, like, do whatever. And so it was, like, easier than CTF and single player.
Right.
But then after I had more experience mapping for CTF and single player, then I kind of think, well, deathmatch, since it's so freestyle and almost kind of aimless, you know, there's, like, a few basic concepts that work for deathmatch that make, like, good deathmatch maps, but there's really no, like, definite guidelines to making, like, a good deathmatch map, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I kind of feel like it's a little bit harder, actually, than single player. CTF is, you know, actually, I think CTF is probably one of the hardest game modes.
Yeah.
Like, I would definitely say CTF is, like, the hardest thing to map for.
So people were really struggling with the, I was going to join up, was going to try to make a map for the 32 and 24 CTF recently, but as soon as I saw it with CTF, I was like, oh, can't. I was preparing to doing something a lot easier, and then, I think I started something, but...
Yeah, maybe it's because, like, I have a lot of experience as a CTF player. It makes it both easier and harder, because...
Right.
It makes it easier because I know, like, what to do for a CTF maps, but it also makes it harder because I know just what it is I have to accomplish. And there's just, like, trying to make a good competitive CTF map that's, like, balanced and it has, like, good gameplay is something that's actually incredibly difficult to do. And I'm actually, like, pretty amazed that the few CTF maps I've made actually came out as good as they did.
It's humbling. It's very modest of you. I would just like to point out at this venture that Rock King is a commentator for the IDL. I'm wondering what the... And I loved... I think I watched the... I can't remember which match it was, which shows you how much I know. But it was earlier in the year. It was the... I think it was the Winter Finals. The IDL Winter Finals, which you commentated, I think. Did you? Was that you?
Yeah.
I'm remembering that correctly. What's your involvement? Like, what's the extent of your involvement with the IDL? When did that start?
Basically, I think once I started... it's been so long, but... I think basically once I stopped playing, that's when I started casting.
Oh.
Basically, I think it was like season 9. It was when I finally got like a Master Bowl like win with my team. Well, I guess it wasn't my team, but the team I was on.
And that team
and,
was which one?
Yeah, it was me, Devastation, and Genova.
Of course it was.
And yeah, like after that is when I started casting matches because I didn't really want to play anymore because I was like, I can't be arsed to do this shit anymore. I don't feel like practicing these damn maps every week and having to show up on time and blah, blah, blah. So then I just started to stream the matches.
So ill-disciplined.
Yeah, I know. I know, man. But, that's when I started to stream the matches. And I thought it was, like, a nice change of pace not having to actually play in the IDL and just, you know, cast the matches.
So, continuing on with single-player maps, or actually just mapping in general, I bring this up because, excluding myself, Alfonso, and Jimmy, you are the fourth most common contributor to the first season of TTV Zone, the 100-minute speed mapping project. How do you feel about mapping within really defined, almost unfair, if you will, limits? And do you do it as a way to spur creativity or just to see what you can do?
I pretty much just do it just to see and like what I can do. I also feel like I kind of make better maps sometimes as speed maps because I kind of just turn off that part of my brain that tells me like, oh, this isn't good enough, this isn't good enough. You should do something else. Blah blah blah. Think harder. And so like I just go with whatever, and I just. You know, I just stopped giving a shit, and sometimes it comes out for the better. I think usually it comes out for the better.
Cat face of doom.
That's right, and
Mega Spider Bitch.
Yeah, Mega Spider Bitch. Mega Spider Bitch. I think that's like one of the maps I'm most satisfied with that I've like ever made. I really like how that map came out.
It is a really fun map.
Is that a liberating or frustrating thought? One of your best maps was made in less than 100 minutes.
Well, I think it definitely, I guess it's a little bit frustrating, but just, I think it's good knowing that just that I can make something like that is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think like part of the reason why I think maybe those maps were as successful as they were was I had a lot of practice with the 32 and 24 series. That was like that's a thing that I've contributed a lot to over the years.
Sure. Well, it's reached a 50-minute point, which I think, in the interest of keeping Tango TV to somewhere approximating an hour, we're going to move on now to our Desert Island WADS feature out, which we usually place at the end of an interview, or approaching the end. And we understand that Rocking has selected his five favorite WADS that he would like to take to a desert island in the event of some sort of zombie apocalypse. So, Rocking, what are your five favorite WADS from the bottom up?
Bottom up. Rebirth?
Oh, hello.
I was looking through that WAD. Like, a lot of these mega WADS, they all kind of just, like, blend together to me because... Honestly, a lot of them I just play, like, co-op, which I actually don't really, like, play on a lot of Mega WADS single player. It's usually co-op, and honestly, I've played so many damn Mega WADS that, like, they all kind of just, like, blur together after a while. I'm like, wait, what map was this from? Was it from this Mega WADS? I don't know. But, I was looking through Rebirth, and, like, I think I remember, like, a lot of the maps, they look... pretty small, they look pretty fun.
Yep.
It's not really like balls to the wall, like, you know, slaughtering shitloads of revenants, you know, stuff like that. It looks I think I remember it being pretty fun.
Yeah. It was as fun as it could be, as well as being pretty simple one to play through, I think.
Yeah.
When I played through, I only died in, like, map 28 or something, but it wasn't any kind of fun.
Was that by Vader?
I actually can't remember.
I think it was by Vader. For a moment I was starting to confuse it with Revolution. I still make
Vader's, I get those kind of confused. Yeah, TVR and a lot of those maps in that time.
Yeah, a lot of those megawatts just like blur together with me. It's like those old megawatts.
It's a pretty cool selection. I like it. I like where this is going. Number 4 on the list, Rocky.
I would say Plutonia 2.
Oh really? Okay. Explain yourself.
Well, I think it strikes a nice balance between like normal kind of like IWOD gameplay and also like a little bit of slottery stuff, I guess. I mean, I like it because it doesn't go like too far in that like slaughter direction, which gets like really tedious sometimes. And even though like it is pretty damn hard, especially like a lot of the map starts are like notoriously chaotic and difficult. A lot of the maps are pretty well made, and I think it's a pretty good megawatt. Mm-hmm.
Do you sort of enjoy it also with respect to how it compares to Plutonia, or just as a megawatt in its own right? Do you, like, not really care about?
I think I like it just as, like, a standalone megawatt.
Yep.
As far as how it goes, how it compares to, like, the original Plutonia, I think it does a pretty good job of keeping the same spirit of it. I mean, there's, like, a lot of, like, modern mapping styles that kind of dilute that, but I think it's a pretty good project overall.
Wait, number 3 on the list?
Probably Scythe 2. That's a pretty classic megawatt.
Mm-hmm. Pretty safe option. Liking it?
Yeah, and you can't really go wrong with it. I mean, there's some retarded slaughter maps that, you know, I don't really care for, but, I was just looking through it, especially the last couple of maps that he made those pretty recently, right? To finish the
The last 27 maps. So
those last couple of maps are not. I'm not into that.
Although map 29, people think map 30 and map 28, which both are just horrible, horrible spam fests. But map 29 actually has very minimal monster usage. Is almost
it does. Yeah, I approved it then actually.
Yeah. Which I think is really nice. I would absolutely agree though that map 28 and map 20 or map 30 are pretty ridiculous. Map 27 though, which is pretty slaughtery, generally gets praised though.
Yeah, because it was treated as the final map for so long. You know?
Yeah, I think it kind of works better like that.
Yeah, so for the most part, it is like, you know, I like it a lot. Unfortunately, like a lot of my memories, like whenever I think of Scythe 2, it's just like. That one vine, that there's like this one viney map. It's like, I think it's like one of the last maps of that like theme, and it's just like these, just like pedestals of revenants. Like that's like one of the first things that comes to mind is like green and pedestals of like 50 revenants. So it's like, you know, besides that, you know, Scythe 2 has a lot of classic stuff, and you know I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Scarcely an interview goes by where the person being interviewed sort of doesn't mention Eric Holmes.
Eric Holm and Back to Saturn X, the staples of Tango TV.
It's true. Isn't it just? But I'm guessing you're an exception to this. I mean, maybe like you said before, he sort of subconsciously worms his way into your design in some way when you're doing maps single player or deathmatch or otherwise. Perhaps even deathmatch because of the sort of size and layout of the maps. Would I be right in saying that he's not necessarily a sort of conscious influence, Eric Holm, in your mapping style?
Maybe a little bit, kind of how he designs maps. I mean, it's not really like, I'm not really thinking to myself like, hey, I'm going to map in like Ohm style. Mm-hmm. You know, I have it in my head that I have like direct inspiration that I'm going to try to take from when making a map. It's kind of just like stuff that subconsciously comes into my brain, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so. The rebirth. Sorry, strawberries are still going. Like, I didn't realize I poured the whole batch into the bowl.
The strawberries never stop.
The strawberries just refuse to give in. So we have the rebirth, Plutonia 2, and Scythe 2. What's second? What's the penultimate selection?
I would say any Back to Saturn X.
What?
Episode 1, 2, or 3, just any of them.
All of them?
Yeah, all of them.
Just throwing in the whole batch, just like my strawberries, man. Just throwing them in there. All the maps. Is a further explanation needed, or is he just going to leave it at that? I mean, we've discussed Baxenek so much, but maybe he's just thinking, well, that's a given, man. I don't need to explain myself here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just Saturnex kind of speaks for itself. It's a really solid megawide. I think maybe in episode one does suffer a little bit as far as like variety, like gameplay variety goes, maybe.
Okay.
But it's definitely an extremely solid map set.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree with any of the, or do you acknowledge any of the criticisms that have been thrown out about it regarding, you know, like its sameness is the most popular word to use, I guess, when criticizing the map set, or any other criticisms you can think of you can throw at it?
Yeah, I can kind of sympathize a little bit with the sameness. I mean, a part of it is due to the texture theme. You know, all the maps are like tech bases and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it, especially like the length of the levels, it kind of adds to it too, because not only are they all tech bases, but they're all usually like pretty damn long levels, like really expansive and have just like a lot of content to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I can kind of see where people come from saying it's like samey.
Sure. Well, everything's been leading up to this moment. It's high time for the final selection.
Mm-hmm. My fifth would be an Epic 2.
Uh-huh.
I really like the thematic variety that is with that map set. And I think a lot of levels are like really crisply designed. There's a lot of like nice usage of color. I like the layouts and even like the sound replacements, even though they're from Power Slave, I think they like fit pretty well. Like the Egyptian theme is cool.
It's true. You don't think that episode suffers from sameness? I remember that's another criticism that some people threw out of Epic 2, all being Egyptian, except for that sort of alien segment.
Yeah, doesn't have that like alien episode.
It does, but then it comes back to Egypt, and people saying it by the end of E3, the sort of thing, you know, dragged on a bit. I'm not sure you share the same sentiment.
Yeah, I guess it does have a little bit of sameness to it as Saturn X. Like, when I think of Epic 2, I just think of, like, Egyptian levels. You know, I can't really pick out, like, any, like, one level from my mind, you know, but it's definitely a really solid map set. It has, like, a lot of, like, visually striking environments and stuff like that, and generally, like, pretty fun gameplay.
All right. I hear that. Well, looks like we're drawing to a close here. Anything else you'd like to add, or any other questions that Tarns would like to slip in?
We still got our second game to play.
No, what? What? Oh.
Oh, man, yeah, where is this game?
Nah, that's where way too cool, man. Nah, it seemed like a good idea at the time, but now that I'm thinking about it, nah, no way. I ain't going there.
What the hell, man? You can't just bring it up and then do it.
Yeah, you teased us with it, Alfonso. Come on, you gotta do it.
Ah, well, you know, it's at the tail end of the interview. If it really sucks shit, I can edit it out. Thanks very much, Drucking, for appearing on the program. It seems natural that we should attempt to get Ralphus on board sometime. I was entertaining the idea of doing a dual interview, like we were going to do with Christus and Chorus, but alas and alack, that wasn't the case. Perhaps in future. In the far-gone future. Yep, thanks for tuning in. This has been Tango TV. Have a good...
Have a good...
Oh. Yep. Yeah. What?
Hey, what?